Todd, just like you, I'm sure, I read newspapers, blogs, books all day long.
Yeah.
I spend 4 hours live on the air, but much longer than that actually reading material from all over the world. And while I'm absorbing all that information, it's pretty inevitable that I will eventually make some connections between seemingly unconnected data points.
Oh, sure.
And today my mind is kind of building a bridge between the Frito-Lay headquarters in Plano, Texas, and voters in Arizona and the now demolished home of Gene Kranich in Obion County, Tennessee. Maybe you haven't heard this story, but let me recap. Gene Kranich lives outside the city limits of South Fulton in Tennessee. He's required to pay a $75 annual fee for fire protection. Kranich did not pay that fee.
I just forgot to pay my $75, and that's all it was all about. I paid it before. I paid it last year, and I paid it the year before, and I don't know. It slipped my mind.
That's from an interview with the Associated Press. But in any case, what happened was a small trash fire that his grandson started grew out of control. Kranich called 911, and the fire department refused to help him. And the worst part of this story, the fire department showed up, but they came to save his neighbor's home.
Wait, can they do that?
His neighbor had paid the $75 fee. Here's a quote from the MSNBC article. Firefighters did eventually show up, but only to fight the fire on the neighboring property whose owner had paid the fee. They actually poured water on the fence line so that the fire wouldn't spread to the neighboring property. Kranich and his family lost their home and everything in it, including their three dogs and their cat. A victim of a zero-tolerance policy when it comes to city services. And believe me, my heart goes out to Kranich. I can hardly bear the thought that his pets died inside that house while firefighters stood outside pouring water on the fence next door. It is a horrible tragedy. But when you look at from a kind of crazy, very sick, pragmatic angle, it makes a certain kind of sense. Local budgets are strained. Sometimes they're busting. And from my limited research, it looks like it costs about $4,500 for a city fire department to respond to a 911 call. The national cost of fire department salaries, any guess?
It's got to be a lot.
It's almost $37 billion.
Wow.
So in light of that, $75 a year seems like a bargain to get fire protection for your home. And maybe the city can be forgiven for trying to teach people that public services cost real money. And that appears to be where we come in with the Arizona voters. Case in point, the second news story. The state of Arizona is in its third year of severe budget deficits, but a poll of voters says they don't want to pay more taxes to make up the difference, even though they also don't want to see cuts in their services. Basically, they want their fire protection and they want to keep their $75. Okay, clearly, the city of South Fulton, Tennessee could afford to send firefighters. They did send them. But many cities probably can't afford it. And at some point, it seems to me Americans are going to have to accept that we can't have smooth, safe roads. We can't have robust police and fire departments. And we can't have strong schools unless we pay for them. You basically cannot eat your cake and still keep it on your plate. So my question is, as I look over these stories in the newspapers, if we shrink government enough, is this eventually what you end up with? What do you think, Todd?
Well, I think it's a great question, but my corollary to this, Celeste, is, can the fire department be teaching object lessons to people who don't refuse to pay but forget to pay? I mean, I think you raise a great point that these things cost money. You can't have your cake and keep it on the plate. At the same time, you got to plan for those things ahead of time, not teach people a lesson by letting their house burn down.
I don't think the position of the firefighter standing outside and watching the house burn is in any way morally defensible. But it's an interesting question, and it's one
sure
that's going to come up further as budgets get tighter and tighter.
What a great story.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.